Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word DASH to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text DASH to 797979. Text DASH to 797979.
Greetings and salutations, amigos. I'm Freddie Coleman with my man Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Anytime you want to hang out with us and reach us, you can do that. The phone number is there for you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mr. Hood, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. I'm looking for 4 hours of fun once again on the starship that's known as Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
And by the way, it is the Friday groove, so you know we're going to have fun with the music. Oh. We're going to have fun hanging out with each other. We're going to have a lot of fun bantering back and forth. We're not always going to disagree. We're not always going to agree. There's not a better place to kick off your weekend than right here with us. Hit us on Twitter as well at TweetJHood. That's Jonathan's handle and my handle at Coleman ESPN. What was that in the background? Are you breaking out the bubbly already?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a long one. So, yes, it is Friday, is it not?
Yes, it is. This show brought to you by Red Bull and Jonathan Hood, apparently. The Lakers got a dose of their own Red Bull last night. When you think about it, maybe Rajon Rondo saved the day and maybe their season when he did this.
Ball's loose, grabbed by Rondo for the win. He got it! Rajon Rondo at the buzzer! A follow-away two-pointer! Lakers 129, Celtics 128! It's over on a game winner by Rajon Rondo!
ESPN LA 710 with the call, and they had a sense of relief, Jonathan, last night. It looked like that clinched the playoffs for the Los Angeles Lakers, especially after losing by 42 points to Indiana on Tuesday, and you got Philadelphia coming up this weekend. But I was thinking about this. They may have gotten a stay of execution, but what if the Lakers don't make the playoffs? I'm not saying that they won't. I believe that they will, but anything can happen. What if they don't make the playoffs? I wonder who is going to get the blame for that. And I wonder how much of that will LeBron James deflect and make sure the blame does not go near him.
Oh, well, I mean, that's going to be very difficult for him to do because this is his roster. I remember us having this conversation before the season started, Freddie. We talked about the roster. Said, wait a minute. So there's JaVale McGee, and then there's Rajon Rondo, and then there's Lance Stephenson. What is this roster really trying to be? I mean, because people were laughing at the roster, and you heard what Magic Johnson said before the season. He said this is a two-year process. So maybe it's not so much egg on the face of Magic if they'll make the playoffs, but definitely on LeBron, because a lot of these players, I believe, were hand-chosen by him, guys that he believes that can help him to be able to elevate to another level. I mean, look at the bottom of the Western Conference as far as the playoff race. Sacramento's good. We'll see what the Clippers are doing. But I just think that LeBron would be the GOAT, and I don't mean in a good way as far as the greatest of all time. I mean the GOAT if this Lakers team, after all this drama, all these storylines, if they don't make the playoffs, I'm thinking we had to look at LeBron first.
It's funny what Tim Legler said about the young players who clearly were distracted, clearly were affected by all the trade conversation involving how much are they going to part with in terms of getting Anthony Davis and getting him from the New Orleans Pelicans. I thought it was very interesting that Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, when he was on Golic and Wingo before the end of the trading deadline, he said, oh, yeah, the young guys will be affected by that and maybe afterwards.
This is, to me, would be like a great reality show, right? LeBron James going on a honeymoon with five ex-wives. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about now for the last 24 games of the season, right? And so to be in that situation for one of those guys, you know, they were ascending. They had so much responsibility and freedom, and they were growing. And next thing, this guy walks in the locker room, everything changes for you overnight.
It's very easy. Tim Legler, well done, by the way, talking about five ex-wives and LeBron James. Well done by you. Not a wife and four side chicks. No, five ex-wives he's talking about you have to deal with the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And LeBron is going to get some blame. They don't make the playoffs, but for my money, this is on Magic Johnson. And it does not have anything to do, Jonathan, with him trying to get Anthony Davis. You always are going to try to make your team better. And Anthony Davis, to me, that one guy is worth more than a Kyle Kuzma, a Brandon Ingram, a Lonzo Ball, and a couple of draft picks. I think he's that great to be that perfect Robin to the Batman. That is LeBron James. But if you're Magic Johnson, you should have done a better job of having communication with your guys before the trading deadline. Because I read a story in the Los Angeles Times. By the way, he's Jonathan Hood. I'm Freddie Coleman here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. That over the weekend, he is going to reportedly tell the players that were part of that trade conversation. That means Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, anybody else not named LeBron James. He's intending to tell them to stay the course and focus on the task ahead. That may be a little late in that locker room, Jonathan, because he should have done that before and say, hey, guys, you've heard the stuff. He should have been to take that head on and say, yes, we're in discussion about Anthony Davis. It is a business. It is a cold business. But focus on what you're supposed to do, no matter if you're here or if you're not going to be here. By waiting until after he did not get Anthony Davis, he may put that message out there. And he may believe that they're going to receive that message. But young guys in this day and age, more than ever before, when they get their feelings hurt, a lot of times their feelings stay hurt no matter who you are or what you've done.
Absolutely. You have to take a look at what the storyline was, Freddie, because when you looked at the trade where Adrian Wojnarowski put out there on ESPN and ESPN.com about what the Pelicans were interested in, what the Lakers were interested in, it was the entire left side of the menu for the Pelicans. But all those players, though, you think about it, all those players, there's no doubt in my mind that there is a side eye that they're giving to LeBron James. Now, listen, they respect LeBron James because not only is it a terrific businessman off the floor, but also one of the best basketball players that we've ever seen. So there's that respect. However, you do have to think about your own personal situation. Are you saying that me, Brandon Ingram, or me, Kyle Kuzma, or me, Lonzo Ball, are just not good enough to be playing with you? So that means I have to continue to hustle for you because you are LeBron James? See, it's a different mentality now than it was even 10, 15 years ago with today's athlete. They want to feel like they're important. They want to be part of something special. And for LeBron James, I'm sure, LeBron James, Palinka, as well as Magic Johnson, for them to say, yeah, all these guys are expendable. We can trade all these guys for Anthony Davis. And then the deal doesn't happen. Now, between now and the end of the regular season, we'll tell a greater story than you and I could ever tell about what that locker room mix is going to be like and whether or not all those guys play hard for LeBron and the Lakers.
If I'm Magic Johnson, this is the message I'm giving those guys. And I want to make sure that LeBron James is in the room to hear this. Also, Rajon Rondo, those two guys are not going anywhere. If I'm Magic Johnson, whenever you have a chance to sit down, whether it's before the game against Philadelphia this weekend or after the game, I'm getting everybody in that locker room looking at those young guys and say, yep, your name was bandied about because of Anthony Davis, and that's what the Pelicans wanted. At least we thought that's what they wanted. The deal didn't happen. Prove me wrong now. Show me that you want to be here. Show me that when I look back at it, I said, boy, I'm really glad the Pelicans played hardball and did not accept any deal that we wanted to put out there to get Anthony Davis before the trading deadline. To me, that's the message I would send if I'm Magic Johnson. You know what? I made a business decision, B. Nothing personal. It's business, B. Nothing personal. So go out there and prove that I was a fool for thinking about trading you guys. It's not about focus the rest of the season. It's about showing me up. Because if you do, not only is it going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit us, and we're going to be better as an organization and better as a basketball team.
I would hope, Freddie, that message would get through, because if you were in Magic Johnson's position, that's a great thing to say. That would stop Lonzo Ball from putting a video out of the first generation Amazon Echo and where the speaker, that music didn't sound that good, by the way.
It really didn't.
You know, it was a little frayed, you know, you might want to upgrade, pal. But instead of having that video up there saying we ain't going nowhere, now you might still be going somewhere. Just continue to play hard.
And if you're the Lakers, full disclosure, like I said, I believe they're going to make the playoffs. Is it more interesting if they don't? Not really, because a lot of times you don't mind seeing that kind of smoke next to a guy like LeBron James. You're a LeBron James hater, and I'm not a LeBron James hater at all. The NBA is going to be better having him in the playoffs, even as an eighth or seventh seed, than not having him in there at all in the Western Conference. So I firmly believe the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. But if they don't make the playoffs, I can't even imagine what kind of pressure is going to be on Magic and LeBron to either find a way to get Anthony Davis there by trade and hope somebody else does not step in, or hope that another quality free agent will turn away from his team and looked your way. A Klay Thompson, a Kevin Durant, and maybe if Kyrie Irving believes the earth is flat, maybe even him.
I know. Remember the apology took place, Freddie. He says, yeah, you know, I didn't understand what it meant to be a leader, and so now I apologize. And now that's going to be an interesting storyline to watch as well in July, whether or not we see a reboot of Kyrie and LeBron. All we continue to hear, though, from the outskirts of the NBA, those that are inside the NBA, about some players balking at the opportunity to play with LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting to see who's going to be part of Team LeBron, not the All-Star game, who's going to be part of Team LeBron here when we get to next season.
I wonder how much juice they believe they still have, or if they have any juice to make that work, because this offseason will be very pivotal whether the Lakers make the playoffs or not. What kind of quality free agent that they believe can be there with LeBron James? They may wind up being stuck with the guys that they tried to trade away for Anthony Davis and hope they still don't have stink eye, not only LeBron James, but maybe at a guy like Magic Johnson. You can always hit us at the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. My handle, @ColemanESPN. Johnson's handle at @TweetJHood, part of the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. The engagement between Danny Ainge and Kyrie Irving in Boston is as funny and as weird as it sounds. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick here to tell you about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. I've teamed up with Full Sail University to create a sportscasting bachelor's degree. You work both on and behind the cameras, and you build skills for the future of sports so you can connect with audiences no matter where they are or how they're tuning in. Learn more about Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting by going to fullsail.edu/ESPN.
Well, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career.
The Knicks plan to go hard after Kyrie Irving.
He is frustrated with the season. They all are in Boston. They thought the team would be in a different place in the standings, and they thought they'd be further along as a front runner.
And my focus this season is winning a championship with the Boston Celtics.
In regards to re-signing with Boston.
Ask me July 1st.
Well, Danny Ainge is not trying to hear anything about waiting until July 1st when it comes to Kyrie Irving. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetics, taking synthetic motor oil performance to a whole new level. Make the switch to Pennzoil Synthetics today. We know that Danny Ainge can turn a phrase when he has the right mind to do so. Boy, did he turn a phrase earlier today when he was asked a question on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston about Kyrie saying, "Ask me after July 1st. Danny Ainge talked about how engaged these two are.
The way I view the situation is that I think a lot of people, because of Kyrie's announcement at the beginning of the year, thought that there was a marriage. And I think that it's more like an engagement, and we're going to get married on July 1st. And I think that that engagement is still on. As far as I know, in my individual conversations with Kyrie, we're still engaged. But we really can't, you know, make those vows, sign that contract until July 1st.
Oh, they're going steady. That's awesome.
Doesn't it sound like a Hallmark episode? Coming up tonight is Danny and Kyrie.
They're going
last.
They're going steady next on ESPN Radio. No, it is amazing, you know, and but this is the genius of Danny Ainge, though. That was as clear as anything else that he's ever said, because you know what he's saying? What he's saying there is truth, that even Danny Ainge doesn't know if for sure that Kyrie Irving is going to be with the Celtics, but he believes the engagement is there and believes that once the paper is signed, that indeed that Kyrie will be there for the long haul. I just think that at least that is truthful for the fan base. At least they have an understanding. And by the way, Kevin Durant can learn from Kyrie Irving. He squashed it right there. Ask me July 1st. That was the end of that.
One of the things about that, by the hope that Danny Ainge went to Jared to make sure that engagement is really going to be good between him and Kyrie Irving, but I digress. To your point in terms of Steve Kerr has handled it a different way with Kevin Durant because he defended his guy. He said, yeah, should he have done it a different way? Sure, but this is an NBA soap opera, and we're the entertainers part of that NBA soap opera. So Kevin Durant went off the rails more than anybody could have ever imagined. Some people agreed with what he had to say. Some people did not agree with what he had to say. For my money, I understand where he was coming from, but you're not going to win that if you're right. Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving was not going to engage in any kind of histrionics when he knows it's going to look bad for him going after the media, coming after the media, no matter how many supporters he might have. And Danny Ainge understands that if I'm going to have a message put out there, hey, we can't say anything or do anything until July 1st. But I know that guy does not want to go play with LeBron James. And why would he want to? Why would you force your way out of a situation? You have your own team here in Boston. There's no reason to go and be a self-servant once again when you didn't like that in the first place. So that was Danny Ainge's way of saying, hey, legally, I have to say this. If I say anything more, it's tampering. So I'm going to tamper a little bit, but you can't fine me for it if you're the NBA. But at the same time, our engagement is working out pretty good. We've sent out the invitations. We have the hall. We have the cake. We have the band. But until he says yes, nothing is really definite, even though I know he's going to say yes and stay in Boston.
I just think it's smart. I mean, but it's just a typical Danny Ainge, too, because – and I like him a lot as an executive in this league. The reason why, Freddie, is because we start from the beginning, right? We can start with Brad Stevens. That just came out of nowhere where no one thought that Brad Stevens would be an would be NBA timber or even be in the league as long as he has. But it just shows you that Ainge rolled the dice on Brad Stevens. That seemed to be working out very well. And then from there, you'd have to go through, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours to look at all of the trades and the draft picks that they've had over the years and how they were able to do it and the stories and the backstories with that. I think that that stands out to me more than anything else, that he's a wheeler and dealer. He has Kyrie Irving and he has smart guys and being able to have like a Horford, a Jason Tatum. I'm a big fan of Jaylen Brown as well. So I just think that on the rungs of the ladder, when it comes to success, the first thing you want to get to is in the playoffs. The next thing is you want to win a conference championship. The next thing is get to the finals. Next thing is you want to be able to win the championship. And I just like the idea that the Celtics are at least on the ladder and ascending in the right direction. And Kyrie Irving can only enhance what they do, whether it happens this year or in the future. I expect Irving to be able to be swayed by Ainge to be able to stay with the Celtics.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman of Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's something else that Danny Ainge has in his back pocket, and Kyrie Irving knows it as well. He can look Kyrie Irving dead in the face and say, yeah, you may want to go somewhere else and have your own team again and think you could be in a better spot, but we got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year without you. Halfway through that game, you decided to leave the bench, and we went on and almost had a chance to win that game without you. You want to go somewhere else and start over? That means that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and somebody else that we're going to get is going to take your place. And don't think for 1 second, because when you're a superstar, when you're the top of your game, you're going to have an ego. Kyrie Irving has a big, big ego. If I had a game like that, I'd have that kind of ego too. That's going to play in Danny Ainge's favor because he can apply that to Kyrie Irving's ego and say, hey, we got there without you. If we don't get there with you, then how valuable are you to us if you decide you want to play this kind of game with us saying, ask me after July 1st when I become an unrestricted free agent or I have a chance to sign that player option. That is something, completely something that Danny Ainge knows by being in the game and having that kind of skin in the game for a long, long time. That fact is something that Kyrie Irving right now cannot get away from.
I would want to play cards with Danny Ainge. He'll always have something up his sleeve. and that's exactly what you just laid out, because even without Kyrie Irving, you know that the Celtics are an attractive enough place for a free agent to say, look at this team. This team is young. This team is on the rise. I can put myself and plant my flag right here and be able to help what the Boston Celtics do. It would be nice to see Kyrie stay there because, you know, a lot of these free agents, as we see, a lot of these players want to be able to have their own joint and say, this is my team and I want to be able to lead like LeBron and like James Harden and some of these other players around the league. Well, you know what? In a lot of ways, Freddie, is this not Kyrie Irving's team?
It is. Last time I checked.
Yeah, well then there's no reason to go anywhere else if you don't want to, because this is your team. They are leading. You are leading this team. So why do you want to start over and do something different when you are on the precipice of possibly winning the East this year?
How many NFL players look at guys like Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant or LeBron James and say, we're never going to have that, especially not being a quarterback in the NFL. These guys can do this and nobody is going to take them to task because they have that power and people don't mind if they have that power. I wonder how much of that jealousy is with guys in the NFL that see that and know that's never going to happen in their league.
Never, ever. Never, ever going to happen.
Never, never.
He's looking at you, Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, wow. Well done by you. And Larry Fitzgerald's completely fine with it. However, he may not ever sniff a Super Bowl ever again. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons with me, Freddie Coleman, and Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Who is really the best team in college basketball, and which is really the best league? Keep it here on ESPN Radio.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno, live on the scene of a recent windstorm, here to describe the event, a chest of drawers.
There's a storm howling outside, so I thought I'd stay in and watch a rom-com. 5 minutes into the flick, a tree branch slams through the window.
Were you hurt?
I just got a scratch on my chest.
Your chest of drawers can't help you in a windstorm, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call GEICO to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I'm Freddie Coleman, my man Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons, to make sure you're part of the Friday groove with us. And it's always a good groove anytime we talk college basketball with our buddy Seth Greenberg, not only from College Game Day on ESPN. They're going to be in Virginia tomorrow for an out-of-sight game between Duke and Virginia College Game Day on ESPN at 11 o'clock Eastern time. He is here thanks to Shell Pinto Performance Line. Seth, I'm going to get right to it. Here we are on February 8th going into February 9th. Who is really, in your opinion, the best team in college basketball?
The best team in terms of how they're playing in this moment in time, to me, is probably is Tennessee. Now, I think the most talented team is Duke. The team that, to me, has the easiest path to the Final Four is Gonzaga, because the West is so down, and they'll be coming out of the West. But Tennessee's got the DNA of a Villanova. You know, it's got the maturity, it's got the toughness, it's got the execution. It shoots 77% from the free throw line. They're third in the country in points per possession in the half court. Duke is the most talented, but they also have a variable. I mean, the Duke's variables, they don't shoot free throws. They rely on overpowering you, turning you over, getting out in transition. They're a 30% three-point shooting team. That's who they are. I understand they can go 10 for 19 in a specific game, but over the course of their body of work, they're a 30% three-point shooting team. That's the worst in Duke history, and it's the worst of any team that potentially could win a national championship.
Coach, how much parity do you see this year in college basketball?
You know, it's kind of weird. There's an elite six or seven, you know, with the Tennessees and with the, you know, now maybe you could put Kentucky in that, Duke, Tennessee, Gonzaga, and North Carolina in that conversation. But then there's a second tier, and that's where the parity is. None of them great, but all very good. The Purdue's, and a lot of them in the Big Ten. Purdue's, Michigan State, you know, all those teams are good. Iowa State could be in that conversation. And then there's a third tier would be maybe, you know, a legitimate group below that. So I think there are six or seven that can win a national championship. I think there are another about 8 to 10 that have separated themselves to some extent. And after that, it's hard filling the field out. I mean, like, think about this, guys. The Pac-12 doesn't have anyone that you can really get excited about, except maybe Washington, and they haven't beat anyone who's going to be in the field.
Oh, you are right on about that. Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst of ESPN, with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood, part of Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. I'm going to stay right there in terms of what you said about the Pac-12, because you got an Arizona State team that got the blood beaten out of them by a Washington State Cougars team that was 1-8 going in and 2-8 going out. Outside of the Huskies, what is wrong with the Pac-12 here in February?
It's not February, Freddie. I'll tell you one thing. This has been a historically bad season for the Pac-12, and it's not just in football. It's mind-boggling to me that schools that are this powerful, that have this great a reach, that have this great a tradition, can be this bad. Look, Oregon loses Bowl. That's a big loss. They lost Troy Brown a year early. That hurt them, obviously, in keeping up their continuity, and they weren't able to replace that. Bowl obviously got hurt, and he's sitting out the rest of the season. They don't have a substance about him. UCLA is talented. Obviously, they've been through a coaching change. They are softer than Charlotte. I mean, I went and watched the UCLA-Washington game from this past week. Those dudes just want to play. I'm not sure they want to play to win. They sure want to play. And you know what? You've got to be able to draw a line in the sand and compete. And they just don't do it. USC, You know, they have a terrible chemistry about them. Oregon State might be the next team in line, and they're just not good enough and haven't been able to beat anyone in non-conference. I mean, the West Coast Conference is better than the Pac-12. That's the best example. You have an Arizona State team that was good enough to beat a Kansas team that's, quite honestly, not very good. But they also lost to Princeton. They also lost to Washington State. And they play on emotion, but they don't play with any sense of purpose, and they're too spontaneous. So the league is abysmal. I mean, it's hard to say that about a league with that rich a tradition. Cal is way down. But Washington is good. Thibodeau's an incredible defensive player.
Yes.
And they play that zone, and they've got good pieces, but they're not a very good passing team. So that league is hard. It's hard to swallow. The best two teams in the West Coast are Nevada and Gonzaga. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's like Pac-12 football and Pac-12 basketball pointing at each other in that regard. It's pretty tough. In the Big Ten, how many teams do you think, Coach, are tournament worthy?
I think they're going to get 8 or 9. Look, the Big Ten it's got great depth. And it took care of business in their non-conference. And, you know, that's the thing. They're beating each other up right now. But if you look at what they've got accomplished in the non-conference, they took care of business. I mean, it's just the way it is. They won the games they needed to win. And, you know, you look at the top of the league, Michigan is very good. Their potential Final Four good. I think that Michigan State's a second weekend team. Purdue's playing at a high level. They figured out how to play with Carson Edwards, where he's not chasing shots, but he's being more inclusive and trusting of his teammates. The move to Williams at the post has really helped them. I mean, they're very good. Iowa was my sleeper team last year. They remained Rip Van Winkle, but this year they've emerged. They've improved defensively, and they're a really good offensive team. You know, Ohio State did good enough things in their non-conference. Minnesota's very talented. They've got a big game against Michigan State this weekend. I think they're going to get I think that league's going to get 8 teams in. Now, like most leagues, the bottom of their leagues aren't very good. You know, Rutgers is not very good. They're really, you know, struggling. Penn State is struggling. But everyone else, man, there are no rocking chair games in the Big Ten.
Seth Greenberg, ESPN College Basketball Analyst, also part of College Game Day on ESPN with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood on ESPN Radio's Freddie and Fitzsimmons. I believe even though you're right about the Big Ten, the bottom feeders are playing like bottom feeders. I believe that's the best conference in the country. That being said,
I agree.
What has been wrong with Michigan State lately, losing 3 in a row?
Josh Langford eventually, I think, caught up to him. I mean, Josh Langford, they were 7-1 without him. They lost at Purdue, not an embarrassment. Purdue's one of the great environments in college basketball. You know, and I think it's a hard place to play. The loss to Indiana was really hard to take. They couldn't make a free throw. Nick Ward struggled. They're struggling scoring it. There's so much, and then they lose to Illinois, a team that overplayed every pass and pressured them. They only have one guy, Freddie, that can go and just go make a play, and that's Cassius Winston. So they have to rely, and they assist on 70% of their field goals because they run their stuff so hard and they're so good in transition. But if they can't do that, you know, who's going to go get a bucket? So, you know, Nick Ward can get one on the block, maybe Xavier Tillman, maybe Kenny Goins on a pick and pop. Their young kids are good. Aaron Henry's going to be good, but, you know, they really are missing Josh Langford right now. That's 15 points a game. That's a guy who started, you know, basically every game for the last 2.5 years. That's a guy that can take some pressure off of Cassius Winston. They're a second weekend team because how hard they play, they defend, and they're good in transition. I do not think they're a Final Four team.
Coach, how special is Jay Morant? Does he remind you of someone that played college basketball in the past?
John Morant is really good. I went and spent 2 days with him. He's almost embarrassed by all the attention. He's got a little De'Aaron Fox in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that explosiveness, that open court feel. That he's got better vision than Fox, but he's got that same burst. He's a really just not a good passer. He's a great passer. He's got incredible vision. He's got a burst to his game, and he's got an explosiveness to his game and an elevation to his game. Shoots it good, not great. But he's going to be a lottery pick, and he's a guy that, if he can get stronger, is going to be a very good NBA player because he's a very good ball screen player and he's a very good open court player, and those are two areas. You know, people say Westbrook. I'd say Fox, Westbrook type, but he's got to get stronger.
when people tell you about that and they make those kind of comparisons, and you even said right now that Morant does not like all that attention, how's he going to continue to handle that? Because he keeps having these highlight moments that we're seeing on SportsCenter. He's going to get more attention before the NBA draft happens later on this year.
Yeah, the interesting thing, Freddie, though, is he doesn't like the attention until the ball's in his hands.
Okay.
The guy's whole body changes when the ball's in his hands. It's like his personality changes when the ball hits his hands. When the ball hits his hands, he's got an energy and an enthusiasm that is really, really interesting to watch. Off the court, he's a great teammate. He's good with his teammates. He's humble. But once the ball hits his hands, man, that guy, his whole body changes. He's like a lightning rod.
Seth, who is one of the more underrated coaches in college basketball, and why is it Kelvin Sampson?
Okay.
Well, Kelvin Sampson's great. I'll tell you what, Kelvin Sampson's really good. Look, he did it at Oklahoma. He did it in Indiana. He did it at Washington State.
Yes.
And now he's doing it at Houston. And they put a ton of money into that facility and then to the program. And he's the one who's helped kind of give them a vision to say, this is who we have to be and this is what we have to do. I'm a big Kelvin Sampson fan. He's doing it with hard-nosed, tough guys that really good backcourt. I mean, a really good backcourt. And a physicality in their front court. Kelvin's done a great job, and you know they got a big one against Cincinnati tomorrow.
No doubt about it, but there's a big one as well between Duke and Virginia, two of the top three teams in the country, having a rematch. The first game around was fantastic. This one at Virginia could be out of sight in college game. Then ESPN will be there, 11 o'clock Eastern time. Seth Greenberg and the cast of thousands, because they're all there for Seth. They're not there for Jay or Reese Davis. They're there for Seth Greenberg. He joined us here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons with Jonathan Hood and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. Seth, you're always the best, my friend. Have a great night. Enjoy tomorrow as well.
Take care, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And by the way, you missed what he had to say about who the best team is in college basketball. And Ja Morant could be a lottery pick, the young man out of Murray State. Subscribe to the Freddie and Fitzsimmons podcast and the Listen tab of the ESPN app and wherever you get your podcasts. There will be pro football this weekend, and it's okay if you did not know. We'll hip you to that next on ESPN Radio. It is the Friday Groove known as Freddie and Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman with Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Getting your groove on back there on the Friday, huh, Jonathan?
Remix or no?
Remix. It's Tony Touch with Total, not the original by Sister Sledge.
See? There's the old FM ears. There it is. I can hear the remix a mile away.
There you go. And you can take FM away from us, but you can't take us away from FM, especially when it comes to music and radio when it comes to that. Phone number is always there for you to hang out with us FM DJs at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Arizona Hotshots, Orlando Apollos, San Antonio Commanders, Salt Lake Stallions, Atlanta Legends, Birmingham Iron, San Diego Fleet, Memphis Express. Those are the teams that will be playing this weekend, the first weekend for the Alliance of American Football. There will be football on this weekend. Jonathan Hood, are you going to give the AAF a look-see, especially when those team names sound pretty cool?
Absolutely. I'll be watching ALF because I enjoyed that show.
Wow.
I loved ALF on NBC growing up. Absolutely. I'm sorry. Did you say ALF or
no, I said AF.
Oh.
The AAF. The AF.
ALF, I've got company coming over. You can't be here. My boss is coming.
That show's still on antenna TV, by the way. The reruns of that show, which I never watched at all. Never watched ALF. Can't make me.
I will be watching this, but it's very interesting, though. This does not have the pyro and ballyhoo and the pomp and circumstance of the XFL. The XFL, pal! It's not quite Vince McMahon. It's a kind of a soft launch. It's like, hey, there's a new restaurant opening. Oh, really? Where is it? Oh, it's on this street. I'm looking in. It's kind of dark, but I see people moving around. That's the AAF. I mean, it's a very soft launch. Now, you and I both know it's coming, but it doesn't have the hype around it like Vince McMahon XFL will in 2020. I will watch it. I am, though, curious about this. When the teams came out, were you wondering like I was, like, no Chicago, no New York, no Los Angeles. Right. Everything is in the West and the Southwest. Mm-hmm. For this league. Interesting.
It reminds me so much, and this is going back a ways. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, you'll Google it and you'll be surprised. This reminds me of the World Football League back in the 70s. a lot of those cities that did not have the NFL, did not have an AFC team or an NFC team, that's where the markets were for those football leagues and those football players. And there were plenty of good amount of players that came out of the World Football League that wound up on NFL rosters. That's what they're trying to do. There are going to be some names that you know. For example, if you're a Christian Hackenberg fan, and one of our producers, Chris Mitchell, actually may be the only one in captivity, not named Hackenberg, to have a Christian Hackenberg jersey when he played for the New York Jets. He's a part of the Memphis Express with Zach Mettenberger as his backup quarterback. Even former Giants punter Brad Wing plays for Memphis. So there'll be some names that you heard of, some names that you know. The problem with this league, and I don't know if I'm going to give it a look-see or not. I guess I'll find out tomorrow if I'm flipping by the TV and they hold my attention. The star power is where the coaches are. Steve Spurrier, Mike Martz, people like that. I wonder if that's going to be enough when you have a football nation that the United States has become and everybody may be salivating to see any kind of football that's not repeats on the NFL network, if this is going to be enough to get any kind of foothold or at least any kind of toehold if you're the AF, as you like to call it, not the ALF.
I think that I have to have an open mind to it. Yes, I will keep my eyes on it because it is football, Freddie. So I will be watching because I'm curious. I don't want it to fail because I think that this is something that could work. And clearly the NFL and the networks, CBS and Turner, they seem to be interested in this as well. Mm-hmm. If you're just interested in just football and not the accoutrement around it, like the fans and all the stuff around it. Yeah. If you're just interested in just the field, then you will be into the football. But if you're looking for, you know, 71,000 people at Legion Field in Birmingham or 57,000 at Sun Devil Stadium for the Hot Shots, it's just not going to happen. It's a growing league. So I'll just focus on the coaches and the football and see if this brand of football will hold my attention. The other thing is, as you well know, it's got to be something that is attractive to you as a sports fan. It's a tough night. It's Saturday night, right?
Right.
So that's a tough night. So it's got to be something interesting. If not, we'll see what happens.
He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to Shell Pencil Performance Line. Now, they have a Hall of Famer that's a head of player relations in the league, and that's Troy Polamalu. Mm-hmm. He's also a former teammate of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hines Ward is the head of football development. So there are some names that people know. They won't be on the field. And hopefully for their sake, they won't be better than the players actually on the field. That'll be a bad thing for the Alliance of American Football. When you know that people want something or you believe that they want something, it's going to be very interesting to see exactly if they're going to be able to say, I'm so starved for football. I don't want to wait until the CFL in July and August. I don't want to wait until the combine in March or the NFL draft. Yeah, I'll give this a look-see. But I wonder how many people like Kevin Croper, who hit us on Twitter at Coleman ESPN and at Tweet Jay Hood, part of the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. No, sir. It's basketball season. Plus, we have no idea about the talent level. More than ever before, especially in this day and age of short attention span theater, if you don't have somebody out there that'll be a draw, then it's going to be very tough to just hope that somebody will pass by the channel that these games are on. And I would say this if the games are on ESPN. It's going to be very tough to attract any kind of audience or any kind of people if there's not one person you can look at and say, oh, yeah, I'll tune in to check that out because I still can't believe that guy's trying to play football.
Well, definitely in Vegas, I don't think that you have to ask too many books to put the game on because clearly you can gamble on this. And there's a fantasy football element to the AF as well, which I noticed. So there, so the gambling aspect's there. So along with the UFC, along with the NBA, along with college basketball, there's a ton that we're going to be watching this weekend, Freddie. But, you know, the AF has their, they're going to have their niche. But I think that because on the network that they're on, and the, actually, not just the one network, the kind of the family of networks that they are going to be on. At least this is not like the XFL with just being on one channel, on one network. There's a number of people who are going to try this out and see if it's going to be good. But you know what they say about first impressions, right?
They go a long, long way, whether they're good or whether they are bad. Speaking of impressions, Anthony Davis is on the court for the New Orleans Pelicans, that game on ESPN right now, as they're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves at home, his first game back after coming back from the injury and after the trading deadline. When he touched the ball, he was booed when he first touched it. When he scored, the crowd did not know whether to boo or to cheer. Then the cheers got a little louder with cheering and booing after that basket. It is a weird, weird scene. at the arena tonight with Anthony Davis in uniform for the first time since the trading deadline and since he got injured playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, it has been a very weird vibe, which was to be expected after all that had went on and not had gone on with him not being traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. Lord knows they tried so hard to get him. Speaking of the Lakers, they have a lot of confidence based on one guy who cites the LeBron effect. That's next on ESPN Radio.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.